The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning from verse 1 to 8. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and a release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of all his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, from verse 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ. Right. Oh, Lord, help, we pray. Lord, help us, Lord, know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in the early 1980s, I was invited by a friend at school. His name was Andrew Judge. He wasn't the judge of all mankind, but he was a lovely, lovely lad. And he invited me to something called a Youth for Christ rally. Do you remember those? Thank you, you're welcome. I didn't realize that I had such an impact. But this Youth for Christ rally was in Wellington Town Hall. And there was, I think there was a band. It was a bit of a blur, to be honest. But I remember being right up in the gods, right up in the, as far as you can get away from where anybody could see you. But I was there with Andrew. And a gospel presentation was given, someone telling me about the good news of Jesus Christ and how that I could be embraced in the Father's arms. It was so inviting, and yet I was a teenager, and so I didn't want to be seen to be uncool or needy, even though I was both, even without realizing it. So I didn't go forward. Even though they call people forward. A couple of years later, I was on a pipe band tour, a Scottish pipe band tour. Don't you laugh at me. And we went down to the New Zealand Championships, which were in Invercargill. It's the first time I've been to Invercargill, and probably will be the last time I will have gone to Invercargill. It's lovely. Invercargill is lovely, lovely. Honestly, it is. If you're born there, you're wonderful people. But Invercargill is a little bit quiet. It's more quiet than Dunedin, and I thought that was quiet. But friends, we were there, and this friend of mine, Ashley Bloomfield, he was the head boy of our school. The name Ashley Bloomfield may come to you. You know that name. that he is the head of the health service for all of New Zealand. He's the man who was interviewed about the coronavirus. So he's a good man, and he and I struck up a friendship, and we were lying in these single beds in this billet, and he started to talk to me about Jesus. And I listened. And he said at the end, this is one of the things that really struck me. He said at the end this, he said, do you know, if all of this is not true, at the end, what have you lost? And the answer is nothing. But he said, if it is real, what have you gained? Everything. And I thought, okay. And I got on with my life. It was interesting, and actually, it started to really penetrate me a bit. Then I went to the UK, and I was there for a while, and about 6 months in, a friend of mine wrote me a letter. I was traveling with the person at the time, and they left, and they wrote me a letter. Do you know what a letter is? It's very funny. You get a pen, and you write on a piece of paper, then you fold it in some more paper, and you lick a stamp, you give it to someone, and they send it to anywhere in the world. But it takes a bit longer than possibly email does. But it's great. It's lovely. This person wrote me a letter and said, Fraser, I want you to know that I have given my life to Jesus. And I've left a Bible in the bottom of your bag. So, knowing these three encounters that I had, I decided to read this thing for myself. So I read all of the Gospel of John and all of Acts. And I was semi-convinced. And within a couple of weeks, I had given up everything in order to pursue what I thought might be hope for my life. And then I became a Christian not long after that. But friends, I would not have become a Christian if three people had not risked their reputation to be able to talk to me about the hope that they have in Jesus. You see, the Father's arms are waiting for all of us. And he's saying, will you be an advocate? Will you be someone who's willing to rise above being too cool for school to showing people the way to life? Because we know, well, I'm convinced that there's no guarantee of eternal life unless you are in Jesus. So why not do it that way? We're in a series now, next three or so weeks, looking at the good news. What does it mean to be a people who are marked by the good news? Because we've gathered because of the good news. And we respond to the good news in us and in others. But we're also called to be people who spread that good news. The good news. What is the good news? Because in the gospel reading it said, Jesus entered Galilee saying, with the good news, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. The Greek word good news there is euangelion, which we get the word evangelism from, which is the word that the church is terrified of. But actually, the word good news in the old English is God spell, which is the God story. We get the word gospel, which means God story. We are to share and be the God story. However, we have a firm belief, don't we, friends? Don't we have a firm belief that the gospel is for everybody? And that people should know about Jesus, shouldn't we, don't we? Come on, give me a just more than a... Yeah. Okay, brilliant. But in 2011, the Church of England did a survey amongst evangelical churches. We're at what we call an evangelical church. We believe in the preaching of the good news of Jesus. And in 2011, I think it's got worse since, It said this, 96% of evangelical Christians attend church on a weekly basis. So well done. 96% give regularly to their place of worship. Well done. We just want the next 4%, please. 8 out of 10, that's 80% of people, are committed to care for the environment. We believe in that, don't we? Yeah. We believe that we should have a role in politics. You're going to get Donald Trump if you don't have a role in politics. Need a role in politics, friends. And we also believe in volunteering in the church and in our community, don't we? Making the world a better place because of who we are in Christ. And actually, some of what we do is a message of that hope that we have. And also, we believe in the power of prayer. 80% of the church, evangelical churches believe in the power of prayer. I wonder what's happened to the other 20%. Interestingly, though, only 60% say that they talk about their faith at least once a month with someone who they would call a non-Christian. That means 40% of the church who profess the need and the desire for evangelism don't do it. We just have to be honest with ourselves. When was the last time we spoke to someone about Jesus? I'm not here to beat us up, but let's just talk about it for a bit. Because we're supposed to be good news people sharing good news. At the end of the service, we say, let us go and So basically what Andrew will say at the end of the service is, hey, this is our job for the next 6 days. Let's go and make Jesus known. And we all go, in the name of Christ, let Army do it. But we're here to do it together. The question is, have we lost confidence in the good news? Most of us are held back by fear, really. I think there are really four fears with sharing the faith that we so guard but think is so feeble. Four fears. First of all, of being inadequate. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a speaker. I haven't really figured it all out myself. How can I talk to somebody if I haven't figured it out? But do you know, most of us don't know most things. But we do know Jesus. All you're asked to share is the person you know, not the theological arguments for it. That's probably what most people don't want to hear and are expecting someone to bash them over or ram a Bible down their throat. Jesus said, unless you enter the kingdom as a child, you won't get it. The message is simple. Another fear is losing our reputation. Often we're paralyzed by what we think people will think of us. You know, the older we get, the more we realize that actually what people are thinking about us is completely irrelevant, and they probably think better of us than we think of ourselves. Jesus made himself nothing. Jesus didn't worry about his reputation on the cross. Hey, how am I looking here? Oh. Rejection is part of the process, and we just need to get used to it. If you're a salesperson, if you've worked in a shop at all, you've got to get used to people not buying your stuff. That's a rejection in a kind of way. The entire house of Israel rejected Jesus, but he welcomed them. Another fear, the fear of being, I just said rejected, didn't I? And I said, fear of rejection anyway. Fourth fear, the fear of being a hypocrite, being two-faced, having a Christian face and then the face that you show everybody else. Our lives demonstrate the difference that the good news makes or should. And if it doesn't, the antidote to that is to start to talk about Jesus, because as we talk about him, we start to align our life to the words of our mouth. So we just need a bit more confidence, and then our hypocritical spirit will go, because we will live that which we believe. So what is this good news we are to proclaim? Just turn quickly to your neighbor, and if you haven't got a seat next to you, just go over and frighten somebody. Can you just say, what is this good news you're supposed to proclaim to somebody? What are you supposed to tell people? What have you been told to tell people? Okay, well done. Well done. I'm sure a number of you would have said something like this. Jesus loves you so much that he died for your sins, that you are forgiven. How many people sort of shared that sort of thing around? Yeah. Or God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. That's the sort of thing that we sort of share, But friends, is that the good news that Jesus shared? Sure. Let's have a look at Mark 1:15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was proclaiming the good news. Was Jesus on a cross, dead and resurrected at the time that he was sharing that good news? So Jesus did not talk about his death and resurrection in Mark here as a proclamation of the good news. So there's something a little bit more about the good news that I think we need to learn. It's in two really sections in Mark 1. First of all, the time has come. The word for come is pleroma, and that's the same word that's in Matthew 5 when it says, I've not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it. The time is fulfilled. In other words, that was then, now is now. The time has come. In other words, everything you've been waiting for is available now. That's the first essence that Jesus is using of the gospel message, of the good news. The second one is this. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is a huge thing. The kingdom is a place, is a zone where a monarch will rule and has authority. Jesus is saying the time has come, the rule and reign of God is here. This is the essence of the good news. The theme of the kingdom is huge in the synoptic gospels, which is about giving a synopsis of Jesus' life, telling the story of Jesus' life. These are just a few of the verses that are around speaking about the kingdom of God. They're huge. Write them down quickly. The kingdom, the announcement of the kingdom of God must therefore be a part of the proclamation of the gospel, of the good news. Let's have a look at Isaiah 52. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring what? Who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, to say to Zion, your God reigns. Friends, essences of this good news is peace, good tidings, and salvation. Not just salvation, but there is a breaking in into our physical realm of God wanting to change our lives for the better. What kind of God? Your God. He is your Lord. How do we know that God reigns? Because he died and was resurrected again. N.T. Wright, great theologian, said this, that the cross was not only the greatest act of salvation, It was the great moment of the coronation of the king. Extraordinary promise that King Jesus reigns. So the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, it will be preached into the whole world until, and then all nations, and then the end will come. Luke 16 says, since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. Not the good news of Jesus dying on the cross, because that's part of. The dying on the cross is a minor or major, but only a part of the proclamation of what is good news to people. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? It's praying for the kingdom to come. It's praying for this proclamation, the good news. It's a good news prayer. So what good news did Jesus proclaim? If he wasn't sitting on a cross or resurrected, and I'm here, what was he doing when he was moving about and doing his stuff? Well, I think it's in Isaiah 61, which he said in Luke 4. He unrolled the passage in Isaiah 61 and said this. Oh, yes, it said this. Why am I not clicking? There, Isaiah 61. It said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What does this good news look like? It looks like binding up the brokenhearted. In other words, healing those who are broken. That's what good news is to the broken. Freedom of captives. Those who are held in captivity or addictions or habits can be free. That is good news. Release from darkness for prisoners. Those who are oppressed by depression can be set free. Their hope is in Jesus. He is the light. To proclaim God's favor. Do you know, all of us want to be favored, don't we? We want to be special. We want to have the first choice. God says that is for you. This is what we proclaim. Beauty for ashes. Do you know, many of us, many of the people in our society look at themselves in the mirror and have such bad self-images. Bulimia, anorexia, cutting ourselves, anything. But Jesus says that you are beautiful, that he cares for you, that he wants you to know who you truly are. And comfort for those who mourn. You know, there are friends in our community and in our local community who are so impacted by either the fear of the death of a loved one or the death of a loved one, that their lives are so turned around that Jesus says, I have come to give you the oil of praise and gladness instead of despair. This, friends, is the good news that Jesus proclaims. Because he says this in John 10. I have come to give you life, and life in all its fullness. So in other words, the gospel proclamation, the good news proclamation is this. It isn't, hey, hang on to Jesus and you'll have eternal life. You'll get there in the long run. The good news of Jesus is this. He will take all of your rubbish and he will transform your living now. That is the message of the good news. That everything that is broken can be mended in him. It is in him that our life becomes the fullest it can be. Everything else is a counterfeit. Everything else pales into insignificance. This is the gospel message that we're called to proclaim. And how do we get this joy, healing, freedom? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the end of the gospel message. This is the promise of the gospel message. That's what people need to hear. That is why I think the church has become dumb, D-U-M-B, not able to speak it because they don't know it. So friends, let us embrace these things. Let us actually allow them to flow in our lives, because the kingdom of God has come near. The only thing we need to do is to stop not believing it and start living it. Jesus uses the word repent. It's not really, people like to hear that word. But just stop being stupid. Do you know, if you are coming to church to keep someone company, if you're coming just to warm the seat or to get out of the house, can I just tell you, Jesus wants to give you life in all its fullness. He wants to give you such an abundance and such a joy now that all the rubbish in your life will get a true perspective. Jesus died that you might have this stuff, to give you a life that's worth living. That's the kingdom of God. Repent and believe that good news, and you too will feel the embrace of the Father. This was painted by a friend of mine called Charlie McAsee, and this is what he wrote on the back of this piece of artwork. This is the moment in the story of the prodigal son when the trembling apologies and prepared speeches of the boy were hushed in the Father, who hugged him and held him and kissed him. Friends, this is what I experienced when I gave my life to Jesus. I've been living it for the last 30-something years, and I can tell you, a life in Christ is a life worth living. So give up, repent and believe. This is truly good news. Let's pray. Actually, let's stand, can we? Father, we come to you as part of your church who believes in the good news. Lord, I pray now that you would awaken us with a confidence in this good news. I just sense the Lord is now going to be starting to show you opportunities in where you work, where you live, where you play. The people that he is asking you to share the good news of the kingdom. And so, Lord, pray you come and anoint us by the power of your Spirit to do this. And there might be one or two of us here who really want to be sure of the benefits of the kingdom. And as I said, the benefits only come through surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. So what I would like to do is to lead you in a prayer, a very simple prayer. It's saying thank you and sorry and come and fill me. It's a bit like that. So let's bow our heads if we can. And if you would like to pray this prayer, I want you to echo this prayer in the silence of your heart after me. Oh God, what I've heard today, could it be true? Lord, my heart dares to believe that it is. And I would like, Lord, to enter into all the benefits of your kingdom. And Lord, the only way I know to do that is through what your Son has done by dying on the cross and rising again. I thank you that you did that for me. And so I say, Lord, forgive me for my sin, for the way that I've turned my back on you. Thank you that your cross says that I can be forgiven. And so I choose to believe, Lord, that you have forgiven me. I now give my life to you. I surrender to you. Thank you for dying for me. And now, Lord, would you come and fill my life and take it and transform it to your glory, that I may live for you and know the reality of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, I'd like to pray for you now. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that as a life is given to Jesus, Lord, you want to fill that life. And so, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would come and fill that person or those people, Lord, with your Spirit, to give them the confidence that their life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And just one final thing, friends. If you have prayed that prayer, could you tell someone? Because that will then make it a little bit more real for you. And you can tell me too, because I like to hear it when people give their life to Jesus. It makes me feel like I'm doing my job properly. His job through me. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Andrew.